A young boy listens to a story of fights, fire, murder, and mowage.
Welcome to The Walt Vault with Andre,
Michelle,
Emily,
and Luis.
We are a family-friendly podcast where each and every week we watch and review a different Disney movie. Be sure to subscribe on all podcast platforms and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Walt Vault, episode 142.
142?
142. That's the number of this week's episode.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something like cool to say, and I couldn't think of anything time, so just yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. This week, we are talking about the 1987 live-action fantasy film, The Princess Bride. Which is not a Disney movie, but it is now owned by Disney. So,
but it isn't. But it is. But it isn't.
It was distributed by 20th Century Fox, directed by Rob Reiner, starring Cary Elwes, Mandy Patinkin, and what's her name? Robin Wright.
That Wesley's name is Manny Patinkin.
No, Wesley's name is Cary Elwes. Okay. Mandy Patinkin is Inigo Montoya.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say that makes him way less hot.
I kept calling Inigo Indigo. I was like, look, it's Indigo.
Yeah, and he kept messing me up. I wrote Indigo in my notes like 35 times.
Well, when the subtitles come on, if you just like glance, it looks like it says Indigo.
Oh, for sure. And I'm sure that your computer probably
it's autocorrecting all over the place.
My name is Indigo Montoya.
I kept thinking that.
Not as cool.
So
yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Indigo. It's like a pretty blue color, right? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's like purple.
Yeah.
Blue purple Montoya. You give me
that. Domingo Montoya.
Okay. So let's go ahead and give our first impressions of this movie. Luis, let's start with you.
I love this movie. There's just something about it that I really can't put my finger to explain why I love it. All I could tell you is that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't like little perverted Fred Savage. He's played too many perverts in his life.
Wait.
He is definitely not a pervert.
What are you
talking about?
Fred Savage, the kid in the beginning, who's the story is being told to. What perverts has he played?
I think he was in that one movie no one would tell, where he was like,
ain't nobody seen that movie.
No one.
He was like,
you know who Ben Savage is, right?
Yes, he's
not you.
Oh
no.
Isn't that Corey Matthews?
Yes, Corey Matthews from Boy Meets World.
So this is Corey Matthews' brother.
His brother.
Oh.
Two savages.
Little brother.
Two little savages.
Or older brother.
No, I believe Fred is older, the one in this movie. What is the movie, what's creepy movie called that you're talking about?
No one would tell.
No one would tell. I don't
that actually does sound kind of creepy.
Only Luis would know that, though.
It's right here. He played, it's a TV movie, first of all. He plays a character named Bobby. It says, a shy high school student's seemingly perfect relationship with a popular jock quickly turns abusive and dangerous.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, and then he was also a pervert teacher on Boy Meets World. He just made Topanga seem uncomfortable.
Oh. Or
feel
college.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Only Luis
but
would put that as part of his first impression. He's like, I love this movie, but not that pervert.
Not that pervert.
Who's barely in the movie
not
at
that
all.
Who's barely in the movie, and in this movie, he's like, ew, kissing, gross. Get it away from me.
That was such a Luis thing. That was perfect. All right, Andre, first impression, Princess Bride.
I also love this movie. Like, Luis, you're right. This movie is like basically perfect. It's a really, really simple story told with very good storytelling techniques. Like I like it the whole way through, basically. I like it. Every time little creepy Fred Savage pops up, I like it, because he interjects fun things into the story
that a kid totally would.
He's like, Papa, no kissing.
Papa.
This little Italian Fred Savage. Papa,
no kissing.
Papa, get that kissing out of my book. Stop it. My name is Fred. But yeah, I like how funny it is. I like the action.
Alfredo.
I like little Fredo. And I even like the little rodent creature thing that pops up in the fire swamp. I like it. I like it all.
It's an intricate costume. But, you know.
Very intricate costume.
Yeah.
So
all right. Very good. Very good. Emily?
Well, since I chose this movie, I'm just going to say I love it. I remember watching this.
Emily, first impression.
I really like this movie. I think it's funny. Mm-hmm. I think it is funny. Sorry, I got distracted. I like the music. I didn't read up on the music piece particularly, but I feel like it either was composed and then the action scenes were like choreographed right to the music, mm-hmm. or vice versa.
Because some of it is just so
perfectly timed that it makes the action even more exciting than it might really be.
Yeah.
I really like the fighting scenes, especially like between Inigo mm-hmm. and Wesley.
The sword mm-hmm. fight is God, it's so good. Like awesome.
That's like the best part of the movie.
I feel like that's a good Robin Hood. Like that would have been a great stage play moment.
Yeah.
Anywho, I like the music. I like the giggles. All the characters are great. I'm not even annoyed by anyone. What else?
Yeah, I have no annoying characters.
I watched this movie a lot as a kid with my dad, mm-hmm. and I don't have a whole bunch of really fond memories with my dad, so I'm going to count this one as like a boom.
This is a big win.
There you go.
Big win for Daddy. Bride.
I think for me, this is like maybe the third time I've seen this movie.
What?
I actually didn't see it. Maybe I saw it like my senior year of high school because my older sister watched it with her friends, and I think I was there, and I was like, all right, we're watching this movie, and I was like, that was interesting. And then I saw it again in college and loved it. And then I think this is only like the third time I've seen it. It's still really good. It's funny. It's very interesting to me because I don't like Monty Python. But things about this remind me of Monty Python a little bit.
Python vibes.
Just like where it's like very simple like humor. But this one does it like brilliantly.
Right.
Like
everything about
it's really good. The only thing
Lord
that
Humperdinck reminds me of Monty Python.
Well, I was getting
strong Lord Farquaad
Shrek vibes from this movie.
He said the same thing. I'm like, that's the haircut.
That's Farquaad. Yes.
Farquaad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the haircut. I mean, they got some real 80s haircuts going on this. Let's be real. I think the only thing that bugs me is that her name is Buttercup.
It's pretty.
That's
dumb.
Well, yeah. That I think that's where I find flaws in this movie is like the characterization of her specifically. And I mean,
she's fine. I just don't like her name Buttercup.
It's not.
It sounds like a horse simple, name. It sounds like the name of a horse. Like I could have a horse named Buttercup.
Probs. Yeah, or a flower.
Actually, I think that unicorn thing on Toy Story is named Buttercup, right?
I don't know. Maybe
that's
sounds,
why I'm
that
thinking
sounds
that.
Correct.
Let me look that up.
But yeah, I just think like in a more modern movie, she would have done a little bit more stuff in this story.
Yeah, there's
than
a couple times
does.
Where she's like pushed aside and she's just
oh no, yeah, I guess I'm over here now and I couldn't possibly.
Buttercup is that unicorn from Toy Story 4.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking it lists as a horse name.
It's funny though too because this was adapted from a book.
Right.
So it would have been interesting to read the book and see if she's like the total damsel in distress in that as well.
Right.
I want to know if the book is as funny as the movie.
Probably not. Probably because of the way that they decided to like
the interpretations
film it.
Of the characters.
Yeah, I'm guessing you guys are right about that.
And think about like inconceivable. Like he may have said it that many times,
dude,
but
I
not
used
in
to
that, like
I used to say inconceivable like 24/7.
Like the timbre of his voice is just
inconceivable.
So
you got
to
say it with a slight lisp too.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah.
I hate that actor.
Oh, you don't like Mr. Wallace Shawn?
Well, I'm not going to say he's great, but he's great for
but
this
that's,
role.
That's like who he plays. You know what I mean?
That's the guy. He's
a weaselly.
Yeah.
Right. He's
too smart for his own good.
In the first Incredibles, he's like Bob's boss at like the insurance company or whatever that gets thrown through the wall. That's the same. That's the same.
It's just he is who he is, Louis. That's all it is.
That's
man.
That's what it is. That's what it be. It's Mr. Wallace Shawn. Go ahead.
When we start getting into this movie, I want to talk about the intro credits first because. For your guys' movie, when you watch it, when the Fox thing came on, it didn't play the song, huh?
What song?
Yeah, right. Okay.
And I'm wondering if they're doing that on Disney Plus or if it really didn't have the song.
No, I don't think it did. I think it was purposeful.
You think so?
Well, the movie starts. It shows the Fox logo. It shows, like, another blank logo. And then...
Okay, well, it threw me off. I thought maybe Disney Plus was like, we're not putting that song on here.
Bye.
You know what? Maybe you're right. Actually, they should have gotten the rights to the fanfare as well as the
I don't
logo.
Know. I'm about to play another Fox movie on Disney Plus just to see if
just
I'm right
see
or not.
If they yeah. will never play it. Never. But on the Star Wars movies, they definitely play it.
But it's Star Wars.
But it's still the 20th Century Fox fanfare. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Actually, now I'm second guessing myself.
I know. I think they are trying to disconnect themselves from that.
From Fox.
Yeah.
But it's a very famous fanfare.
Yeah, but it's not Disney. Like, if you heard that ditty, you wouldn't think Disney.
I guess. Yeah.
Just like the Warner one.
That's Universal.
Boom. Oh, I'm wrong.
I really wanted to keep going with
Wait, then what's the Warner one?
Warner Brothers doesn't really have one. Like, if you think of the Harry Potter movies. Yeah. That's what you're hearing as you see the WB logo.
What's
Paramount?
No, not well, what is Paramount?
Paramount doesn't really have a jingle either.
Okay, well,
I like the one
unicorn.
MGM with the lion.
Oh, yeah, with the lion.
Wait, what's
and then the next day he ate somebody.
What's DreamWorks?
It's just
the
moon.
Minions going. Isn't they do that?
Wait, what? Is this the intro to Shrek? Yeah.
Okay, so they don't really have one either. Because I think
confused.
For the Minions
What's up
one,
with this tangent?
It's the Minions going. I think so.
Illumination.
Yeah.
Again, what's up with this thing?
We're talking about movie intros, Luis.
I cannot not pay attention properly when you guys are not on topic.
Luis, if you were a movie intro, what would you sound like?
Wonderful question. Yeah, it'd be like that. Your podcast is not broken. It was. That's exactly what he wanted it to sound like.
And listeners, this is a good indication of how our conversations usually go, where we start on one thing, and I don't know what we're talking about an hour later.
Yep.
And the original thing we were talking about didn't get settled. And yeah, Luis doesn't say anything. Well, he actually does talk a lot.
So anyway, the movie begins with silence, and then we hear a little boy cough.
Pew, pew.
And then we see
a little creeper cough.
We hear the little
we're like, ah, COVID.
The creepiest little dude in the world coughing, and then we see his mom come in with the wildest mom mullet that I've seen in quite
some
time.
It's the 80s, okay?
Holy moly.
It was I'm glad we don't see her again. Bye.
She comes in hot with that mullet, and it's like, please don't be
hot.
The one
she
telling the
mom.
Story. And she's not.
Also, she did exactly what I didn't want anybody to do to me when I was sick in bed or being annoyed. I'm just here trying to read my book, mm-hmm. and you had to come in and open the window blinds. I don't think so.
No,
I'm
even
sick.
Worse, he was playing video games.
Right. He was playing
yeah.
He was playing
You're
baseball
trying to
game.
Open that blind, Mom? I'm in bed sick. I'm just leave me alone.
Mom, you're causing a glare. There's a glare on my screen.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I was very,
oh,
I'm
no.
very glare conscious.
Yeah, I know you are because we have windows, and I'll be trying to sun my plants, and he's like, close
nope.
that window. There's a glare.
No sun for them plants. It's no movie time. Sun. So, yeah, little Fred Savage is in there. He's sick. He's trying to play video games, and Mom's like, I don't think so, and she invites Grandpa over.
That's kind of weird. Like, why would you invite my Grandpa over if you're sick? Because she's like, Grandpa's here because you're sick. And I'm like,
She's got things to do. Right,
yeah.
Mom?
Yeah, she got to go out
yeah.
and get her,
but
her jollies
yeah.
on.
He's like a kid.
That,
he can just lay in bed.
You think that hair is going to do itself? Okay, she's got to go in there and get that mullet up, dude.
Chop the sides
okay?
off.
Okay, she said party in the front, business in the back. Is that what it is?
No. Opposite.
Oh, business in the front, party in the back.
It's very interesting to me because, oh my gosh.
Can you imagine the reverse mullet, though?
So the grand.
That's what I have right now.
Oh my gosh.
It is. Fluffy on top and shaved in the back.
Anywho.
So the grandpa's there and he's like, I'm going to read you this story that my dad used to read to me when I was sick.
And I read it to your father.
And I'm going to read it to you. Right. And he's like, a book? I play video games, son.
He said, when I was your age, television was called books.
Okay.
I hate grandpa, dad.
So nobody read me books when I was sick. So what did you guys do when you were sick?
Slept.
You want to know what I did? I was at my grandma's house eating chicken soup and saltine crackers and watching Jeopardy. And Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
So you were doing grandma things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you do when you were sick?
He was doing grandpa stuff and you did grandma stuff. I don't see what your problem is.
I used to play dominoes, which I wasn't actually playing dominoes, but I would like stag dominoes on a Lazy Susan that my grandma would like pull out of the cupboard. And then I would just spin it and make them go everywhere.
That's a good thing to do when you're sick. What about you, Luis?
Cornbread and apple juice.
Cornbread and apple juice? I got super saltines.
Well, you probably are more healthy than me then.
Lou?
I don't remember.
His parents would be like, I'll find work if he was sick.
Yeah.
What about you?
You ain't sick.
What about you, babe?
I was a very independent kid, so I would probably read a book by myself or watch TV by myself.
You'd
or
be a creeper Ben
play,
Savage.
Yeah.
Would they feed you?
Play video games
would
by
they
myself.
Feed you?
Chicken Noodle Soup was number one.
Was it sold on the sign?
I hated that song so much.
What?
Chicken Noodle Soup. Chicken Noodle Soup. Chicken Noodle Soup. With a soda on the side.
You know, I did not know that was a song.
Yeah, it was like late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, my God. Well, Luis, rap song. He told me about a song that had to do with burritos and tacos, and I was like, what the fuck?
Hey.
Sorry.
Bleep time.
Oh, no. But anyways, the song? And no grandpa was reading me no book when I was sick.
Nobody does tacos.
I thought it was no burritos, just tacos.
No tacos, no. Nobody does just tacos, no.
Man, I kind of
what?
I kind of agree and disagree with the song, you know? No burritos, but just tacos.
I choked on my snort.
Okay, I like tacos.
No burritos.
I like burritos too, though. Come on, man. Hook a brother up with a burrito.
What is that?
It's a real song?
Nobody eats those tacos.
So that's Luis's movie intro.
That's his song?
It's called No Burritos, Just Tacos. That's his movie company. MBJT. MBJT.
Yeah.
No Burritos, sure. Just Tacos.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying for Justin Timberlake, because he does love Justin Timberlake.
Oh, huh? Oh, I thought you were about to say Justin Timberlake does love tacos and not burritos. How do you know that about him? So yeah, I also did not have a person that was reading stories to me.
No,
not Louis.
Especially when I was,
because I knew how to read.
Right.
Read my own book.
Once I was of reading age, I was like, y'all are too slow. Get out of here. My brain does it better.
No grandpa to read no books for me.
But at the same time, I think.
Although one time at my grandma's house when I was sick, I did try to read Moby Dick, and that didn't work.
Holy
too well.
How old were you when you tried to do that?
Maybe like 8. That's the first problem. Because I was just looking through my grandma's books. I was like, Moby Dick.
Oh,
also,
cool.
Anne of Green Gables was in there too.
Yeah.
Why do I remember this so specifically?
I don't know, but can we get back to the movie?
Yes. Yeah, continue.
So I think it's really cool that the grandpa was reading a whole story to this kid. I was like, wow, I've never seen somebody like read an entire book in one sitting out loud like that. You know, that's kind of nuts. I wish there were more stories that could be read in like an hour and a half.
Well,
cool.
Not in an hour and a half. I would say you could read like a chapter every night to your kid
right.
before they go to bed.
Yeah,
and something,
yeah, yeah.
But
something like that.
Nobody got patience for that. Okay.
So anyway, grandpa's in there. He's like, I'm going to tell you the story. It's about true love. And the kid's like, this is going to be one of those kissy books. This sucks, dude. I don't want to hear nothing about
this. He's like, nah, I got fencing. Oh, well, he's all, does it have sports? Calm down. I hope my son's not like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he wanted sports.
He wanted sports, and he's like, yeah, it's fencing and pirates. And
fighting.
Fighting and revenge. And he's like, pirates are good. Pirates are good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, hook it up with the pirates. So Grandpa starts telling the story. Okay, Buttercup, she's living on a farm. She's got a farm boy. He's there. He's working on
farm
the farm.
Boy.
Farm boy.
Do this.
As you wish.
Farm boy. Do that.
As you wish.
Farm boy, get that water.
As you wish, girl.
Farm boy, come here.
As you wish. So.
He does give her an eyebrow, though.
Yeah, a lot.
So, yeah, Grandpa explains that every time he says as you wish, what he really means is I love you. And the kid is like, Grandpa, I told you I wanted the fights and the pirates and the robots and whatever. I continue the story. It turns out that farm boy, his name is Wesley, and as he and Buttercup fall in love, he has to go out on a mission.
He needs to get money for a dowry. He doesn't have any money.
Oh, right. He's got to get paid before he can marry Buttercup. So he goes out, and then
you're trying to marry a girl and you ain't got no money. Yeah. Go out there and get some money first.
She's like, I don't want no scrub. A scrub is
well,
like,
she actually
I can't
doesn't
get
care,
no
but he's
love.
Like, I gotta go get some money to from buy money. You from
passenger
your papa.
Side of a pirate ship.
Trying to holler at me. So he goes out, and she basically immediately receives news that he is dead, has been killed by the dread pirate Roberts, and spends the next 5 years wallowing in misery. And
she ain't eating. She ain't sleeping.
Mm-mm.
I don't know how she alive.
Right.
She's looking pretty good.
She
after
still
five
looks
years.
Pretty good for all
so
of this.
So it's like
not
really
eating.
Ironic to me when the next scene is like the prince, right? And they're like the prince
Humperdink.
I just think of like pumpernickel, like pumpernickel
yeah.
bread. Humperdink, pumpernickel, same thing. basically, he could choose whatever bride he wants, right? So he's like, I'll take that farm girl. But I just want to know like. Why? Like,
well, because she's pretty.
Yeah, she's fine.
I mean, I know she's fine, but like, he was just like, I'll take that one.
He walked around the forest and was like, her.
This one.
And she's like, are you freaking kidding me?
And he literally was like, I took a commoner, but she has come in no more.
I like his announcement. He's like, y'all, check it out. I could have chosen a royal, but I chose a commoner. Here she comes, walking down the aisle, Miss Buttercup. And she's like, all right, I'm here. Hooray.
Hey. Hey. Poor girl.
Yeah, so he chooses her. And also, when during the 5 years, she's like, I will never love again.
And he's like, that's fine. You'll learn to love me. You know, typical men stuff.
I'm cool.
So I think it's like the only joy she finds is in her daily ride on a horse that should be named Buttercup, and that shouldn't be her name.
She's like Nays before Bays.
Dude, it is so funny because it's totally like Tangled where like the ruffians just show up.
Yeah, for sure.
And what are their names?
These three idiots.
Indigo,
Fezzini.
Fezzini.
Fezzini, Fezzik, Andre the Giant, and then Inigo Montoya.
It's Vezzini.
Vezzini. Yeah, with a V, yeah.
Vezzini and Fezzik.
And Inigo.
And Indigo.
Yes. Which is funny because sometimes when he says it, he says Inigo, which like with a Spanish accent, but everyone else calls him Inigo. So Inigo. That's why it totally sounds like
Indigo. So I think that's why I say Indigo.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Like he didn't hear him just now when he said, my name is Inigo Montoya. He's like, oh, I read your name on a piece of paper. It says Inigo.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, because they don't have the accent.
Yeah. So these three dummies show up and...
like when people call Luis Lewis.
Hey, Lewis.
They do that?
Oh, my God, all the time.
Even I know it's Luis. Well. It's only Lewis if you're that guy from Even Stevens.
Yeah, Shia.
Shia. So Vezzini shows up. They kidnap Buttercup and are planning to take her across the channel because there's like two warring factions in this fantasy world, the Froilans and the Dilberts.
Who cares? These
Dilberts
two countries want to go to war, okay? And they have to take her to the other land and kill her there so that it looks like she was killed on their soil to start a war.
Right. Exactly.
Start a war. Easy enough.
Helen of Troy style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to say Helen of Bellina.
Helen of Bellina style.
This scene right here, the whole like climbing up the rope and whatever, all of that is like my favorite part of this. Where
yeah,
it's like the whole, it's like a journey.
Yes, so we find that Vezzini is the leader, even though he's the little bald one, because he's the smarts of the operation or whatever.
And then
Fezzik is the strong man, and then Inigo is the mercenary or whatever.
Okay, and Andre had to explain to me that actor is really that tall.
Who, Andre the Giant?
Oh yeah, Andre the Giant.
I didn't know who Andre the Giant was.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
a
Andre
wrestler.
Told me he was a wrestler, and he like had giganticism, but right. I didn't know that. I was like, geez, like every time they would pick him up and like his head next to the other, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's a very large man.
He's a Hagrid-sized man.
Right, indeed, a Hagrid-sized man.
He
was
probably
7 foot
Hagrid.
5. Yeah, he totally could have been Hagrid had he survived that long, but unfortunately he died in 1993.
Well, I get that he was tall, but it was like the thickness to me.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he big boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, indeed. But he's very funny in this movie.
Oh, yeah, he's so funny.
And about to win the peanut.
Andre kept saying that.
Anybody want a peanut?
I'll be completely honest. It completely slipped my mind, or I just don't ever remember that he was rhyming.
Oh, yeah. He was rhyming a lot.
Oh, yeah. That part is so funny. The,
their little rhyme, he's like, that Vezzini, he can fuss. I think he likes to scream at us. Probably he means no harm. He's really short on charm. Vezzini's like, stop rhyming.
Very cute.
Oh, that was
so
good.
They get in the boat. They're going. They're obviously trying to get to this other land. And
Inigo's like, anybody following us? And Vezzini's like, no.
It's inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
It couldn't possibly be following
inconceivable.
Us.
And he's like, are you sure? And he's like, why are you asking? He's like,
well,
someone's
following us. I turn around and somebody's back there, dude. So I think somebody's following us.
See, it's that kind of simple humor that I think is so funny.
It's
I don't
hilarious.
Know why. Because it's
and
stupid.
It's the deadpan. Like, just.
It's like, well, there's somebody back there.
Somebody definitely following us. If you just turn your head 90 degrees to the right, then you would see that somebody's following us. Oh, look at
and
that.
And at that exact moment, Buttercup's like, I'm done with these losers.
Peace.
And she jumps out of the water and she's like going to swim to shore, I guess.
Yeah, that was dumb.
She didn't realize that there were eels. Like
right.
Eel-infested water.
Eels, monstrous eels. And the eels are coming right up on her. And then the story stops because Grandpa in the frame story is like, the eels don't eat her at this moment. I just wanted to
because
let you know because you look really nervous. And the kid is like gripping his blanket as hard as he possibly can.
I think he says, I'm not nervous. I'm just like... concern or something like that. And it's different.
That's a really interesting storytelling technique to completely stop the story, pull back, get it back into the mind of the kid, and then go back into the story and see that Fezzik pulls her right up out of the
water.
Well,
and then he gets mad because he already read that part. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
Like, every time you stop a story mid-page and not, like, at the end of the chapter, you do the same dang thing. Where I'm like, I read these two pages already. Dang it, paragraph. Where was I?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So relatable.
He's like, okay, yeah, she jumps into the water. And then Fezzik pulls her out.
And he's, like, talking. And then it's, like, Vizzini's mouth moving. But yeah. It's his voice. I really enjoyed that. It was cute.
That's right. So from there, they make their way to the other shore, and they see the Cliffs of Insanity.
The Cliffs of Insanity!
Where it's only possible for Fezzik to carry all three of them on a rope up the side of the cliff.
Is this rope always there?
I guess.
I guess so, because then I don't freaking understand how once a prince shows up, there's freaking horses up there. I'm like, how'd you get your horses up there?
Oh, I think it's a hill, but like on the other side, people just like leave the rope just in case you can make it up.
I guess. Know. It's a shortcut, I guess, if you can climb.
It's just weird, but okay.
So Fezzik carries all three of them up the rope, and right behind them, this follower, the stranger in a mask, we see him get off. And
Zorro, practically.
Yeah, basically Zorro. He's climbing up right behind him. And Vizzini's like, Fezzik, climb faster. How come he's catching up to you? And he's like, well, he's just one guy, and I have literally 400 pounds in my hands right now. Give me a break.
I got three of you. Just one
there
of
was
him.
Only one of him. So them three make it up to the top, and they start cutting the rope so that the stranger will fall out and die. And Vizzini's like, all right, I'm taking the girl. Fezzik, you come with me. Inigo, you stay here, kill that dude if he comes up here, and if he dies, just come up
and everything does. From here on out is the best, because
yes.
Like, they're talking for a long time, and there's no music. Like, he's just looking down there like, hey.
You all right?
You all right?
Hurry up.
Hurry up so
and
I
he's
can
like,
kill you.
This is kind of hard. I don't know if you knew that since you got carried up there, but I'm climbing by myself, and there's no rope anymore because you guys cut it off.
And then he's like, can you stop talking so I can concentrate? And he's like, okay.
All right. Hey, if I throw you the rope, will you climb up faster so that we can fight?
I love that whole exchange. Yes.
It's so stupid, huh? It's so good.
It is, but like I like that they were very
like cordial.
Like cordial.
Yes,
together, you know?
they're
he's
very
like,
respectful.
I promise I won't kill you till you get to the top.
Yeah, which is cool.
And then he even lets him rest after.
What if I give
he's
you
like,
my word as
time.
A Spaniard? He's like,
I know too many Spaniards.
Yeah. That's right.
Doesn't he promise on like his grandma or something? I don't know.
Dead father, I think.
Yes,
he was like,
okay.
On
dead
Domingo
father.
Montoya.
Domingo Montoya. So he throws in the rope. He gets up there, and he's like, okay, let's fight. And then he's like, no, take a rest, just chill out, dog. We got time. It's all good. And they have a conversation where Inigo tells him his backstory, basically. Like, I was a kid. My father was a sword
maker.
No,
you have to
maker.
Say it like him. Once I was a kid. Like
once
it's
I was a kid.
My father,
this is a six-fingered man. And he said, I'll take this sword for one-tenth the price. And my father said, no. And then he killed him.
He stabbed him through the heart.
Stabbed him through the heart. Yes, it's just so good.
So I fought him, but I failed.
Give me D's.
I was 11 years old. It's like, okay,
give
yeah.
Give me D's.
Makes sense
he
that
gave
you
him
failed.
Some Joker, like almost Joker.
Yeah, you
want to
know how I got these scars? It was a six-figured man.
And I studied my whole life.
Yeah, he studied fencing for his entire life, dedicated, and now he just does mercenary work on the side because, you know, revenge doesn't pay the bills. I like that line.
He's like, so no offense, but I have to kill you.
Yes.
Now.
So
I kill you.
So they begin their fight, and they're like, oh, well, you know, sounds like a pretty cool endeavor, but I guess we got to fight now. It's like, yeah, I guess we do. Let's go. And so Inigo,
they seem so good.
Inigo puts a sword in his left hand, right? They're fighting. The stranger also has a sword in his left hand. They're going, and the fight is awesome,
it's
okay? So
good.
Not only are they doing, like, really good-looking fencing, but they're also talking the entire time. Like, oh, you're using the technique. Oh, I use the technique.
I know everything they were talking cool. about. I was like, I have no idea, but...
And this is the part where I like the music, because they'll do like a couple steps, mm-hmm. do some gab, and then it'll be like do. So good.
It's cool. It's like a comic book. Like, this is what happens in comic books.
How many times do they have to shoot that scene?
Oh,
like,
good God.
And it's shot really well too. Like, it's like right over their shoulders so that you can see the swords actually hitting each other, mm-hmm. and they're like dodging it and stuff. It's dope. It's a good action scene.
He's like, "Oh, you're good."
And so they're fighting for a while, and Nigo goes, "Hey, I gotta tell you something. I'm
no,
not
he's smiling.
Why are you smiling?
Because I know something you don't.
I'm not left-handed." He switches hands. It's so cool. and then later they get up to the top of the cliff. It's like, "Well, guess what? I have something to tell you as well. I'm also not left-handed." I was like, "What?" Okay. They're doing flips off the little pole thing up in the air and stuff like that. Finally, the stranger knocks the sword out of Inigo's hands and defeats him. And he's like, "Well, I guess you
kill me quickly.
Kill me." And he's like, "No, you're like pretty cool. You're like a nice guy. So I'm just going to knock you out with the bottom of my sword and then move on my way." And he does so. And then I think in the next scene, the prince shows
up.
Dude,
I love the prince in this part because he's like stepping on the feet and he's like, there was a great battle.
Like, okay, Sherlock
Holmes. Very, very good swordsmen. And this one lost.
And he's stepping in their,
ran away.
In their footsteps.
And this one. Like, and he's like, it's so funny. Yeah, the prince in this scene is really funny.
Yes, hilarious.
I think it was supposed to be because he was like a good, not a hunter.
A good hunter. Yeah, it was a hunter.
Oh my gosh. So he could like, he was like a
bloodhound. Because Buttercup is like, my prince will find us. He's like the number one hunter ever.
Right. Yeah. The Buttercup is sure that the prince is going to come rescue her. So the stranger moves on. And he meets Fezzik, the giant, at the rocks, and he's like, "Hey, you want to fight?"
Well, coming, so he's like, "Fezzik, you stay here and
kill
do
him.
What you do."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "What do I do?" He's like, "Hide behind this rock, pick up a rock, and then throw it at him."
It's just funny, how's he gonna hide? He's a little big.
Yeah, he's so big.
Those rocks were big,
that
but not
a big rock.
Enough.
Rocks are big too. He throws a rock at him, and he's like, I missed on purpose.
You kind of just got to love his character because of his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not even trying to make that voice. That's his voice.
Right. That is his voice. He is
it's a deep voice.
A French man. So he's got a bit of an accent.
And a deep voice.
André René Roussimoff is his
I never knew he was a Frenchie.
Yeah. He died in Paris. And he was born in, I can't even pronounce the name of this town. Coulommiers Saint-Étienne, France.
Probably better than I would have said it.
I'm just like, Les Miserables.
Get out of here.
Oh my God.
You and your
Jean
women.
Wolverine.
Jean Valjean Valjean.
Jean Javert.
Jean Valjean.
So the stranger and Fezzik fight for a little while. He hops on his back. And it's like choking them out, basically. And what are they saying at
this
point?
My favorite part is, Fezzik is like, you know, he's like, I'm not used to fighting like this. I usually take on 10 or so guys at one time. And this is a little harder with just one. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking in my head, like, wouldn't it be better to have one?
Because he probably throws one dude at the other dude.
Yeah, and he's like, you're kind of slippery. Like, this is hard.
It's difficult.
And he's trying to, like, knock the stranger off his back into the rocks, and he's just holding on, trying to choke him out. And he eventually does choke him out.
It works, yeah. He puts a big old boy to sleep and then moves on his way once again. He has defeated two of the three scoundrels and is ready to meet the big boss. Fizzini, he has set up a picnic table at the top of a hill or whatever. He's got Buttercup right next to him, blindfolded, so she doesn't see the stranger when he approaches. And he's got a knife to her neck. And he's like, don't step any closer. If you want the girl, I'll kill her or whatever. And the stranger challenges him to a, not a battle of strength, because obviously he'd win, but a battle of wits. And Fizzini, he can't resist because he's like a very Lex Luthery type of dude, and he's like, I'm the smartest person that there possibly is. And
you sound like Daffy Duck.
So they begin their battle of wits, wherein the stranger pours a bottle of wine into two cups, takes the cups, turns his back, and pulls out some poison. It's a colorless, odorless, scentless poison, and you know, if you're smarter than me,
I think.
And if you're smarter than me, then you'll know which one I put the poison in and which one I didn't. And Fizzini goes through the fantastic logic puzzle.
Oh my gosh, he's the worst.
10 minutes about why it won't be in front of me and why it wouldn't be in front of you because I'm not a fool, so I know that you wouldn't put it in front of you.
Because it comes from Australia, as everyone knows, and Australia is entirely peopled with criminals. Criminals used to having people not trust them, so you're not to be trusted by me, so I clearly not choose the wine in front of you. And it's like, bro, what are you even, what are you doing?
He has anxiety for show.
And the stranger's just looking at him like, all right.
Okay. Well thought out, I guess. So eventually, Vizzini chooses which wine that he's going to pick.
No. He's like, look over there.
Oh, that's right. Look over there. The stranger's like, okay. And he turns his back. And Vizzini takes the two cups and just switches them around.
And I looked at Luis and I'm like, didn't he get to choose which one he was going to drink anyway?
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have just taken the other one, stupid. But it's the battle of wits. So he says, first, let's drink me from my glass and you from yours. And then they take the sip, and he's like, you only think I guess wrong. That's what's
this
so funny.
Is what Waluigi would sound like. Guys.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Ew.
Oh, my God. They need to make a new Mario movie and put this dude as Waluigi.
I switched glasses when your back was turned. Ha ha. You fool.
So stupid. So he drank it and then he passes out.
Literally laughing.
Like, actually, I poisoned both drinks.
I think the first time I watched this, I was like, what the heck just happened?
It's a very funny scene. So Fizzini dies, and it turns out that the stranger had poisoned both drinks, but had built up a tolerance to it over years and years and years of using Iocane, I guess. I'm like, okay, that's pretty convenient. Just carry it around all the time to poison dudes
heck
with.
Heck yeah.
I mean,
I'll do the same thing.
He looked like Zorro. So.
Right. So
well, he looked like a pirate, so I mean, sounds plausible.
Exactly. So he takes Buttercup, he unblindfolds her, and she's like, it's you. You're the Dread Pirate Roberts, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, that's me. I'm the Dread Pirate Roberts. And she's like, you killed the love of my life. I hate you so much. You're the worst. And And Dread Pirate Roberts is like, yeah, I remember that dude. He begged me for his life, and I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting, and then I killed him or whatever. And then he does a slow reveal of...
Well, he's been a little brat in this one. He's like, but you didn't wait for him anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So
he talks about how great you are.
How loyal you were, but...
Looks like you married a prince a week later.
I come back 5 years later and look at you do. You're married to some other dude.
I really wanted to be like, bro, you were alive for 5 years and you didn't come on your stupid ship and come get her. Like, no wonder she's pissed. Also, if I had known you were, well, I don't know how I'd react, but she was
very. Yeah, go ahead, finish that sentence.
I don't know, because she was happy, like, oh, it's you, Wesley. I would have been like, what? You was just not going to come here for 5 years? Interesting.
Right. So it turns out that the Dread Pirate Roberts is not a, it's not just a one person. It's a title. And when
they're doing a Black Panther up in here.
Right. And when it was reported that Wesley was killed by the Dread Pirate Roberts, what actually happened is he was like, you know what? You're actually kind of cool. I'll probably kill you tomorrow, but I'll keep you alive for now. And then like 3 years later, he's like, all right, I guess I'm going to kill you. he gave him his mantle of the Dread Pirate Roberts. And then that dude went and retired in Montego or whatever. And then
must be nice.
Yes, and so Wesley, as the Dread Pirate Roberts, has spent the rest of this time training and gaining skills and wealth and then making his way back so that he can find
his
girl.
Which I'm assuming that's where he learned, like,
all the
sword
fencing,
fighting and
yes.
stuff, because before that he was a farm boy.
Right,
and
yeah.
He got no skills.
I mean, he was strong. He was chopping wood.
He ain't paid no bills. He ain't no Captain America chopping wood.
Right, yeah, not with his hands. So, yeah.
Fetching water.
Buttercup is upset, but also like very excited to see him. Right? They kiss when his mask falls off. Oh, that's right, because she pushes him down a hill, and they fall down that hill forever, and it's very funny.
Dude, he looks so freaking painful.
Heck yeah.
They're like, ah,
she, like, tried to run after him and then just falls, like, okay. Tumbling forever.
Very silly.
And the prince is, like, riding up on his, that's what reminded me of Monty Python, like, the way the horses were, and
right,
they were all,
right.
like, upright and
yeah.
super straight.
Clip-clop, 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 clip-clop.
They're like, they're only an hour ahead of us. Okay.
Okay. It's cool that you know that. they make their way into the fire swamp. This is where Wesley takes Buttercup into.
How do you feel about this part, Lou?
Fire swamp.
It wasn't too bad. Those damn rodents though tripped me out.
He got very angry.
Yeah, I did not like those rodents.
The ROUSs, the rodents of unusual size.
So basically there's shooting fire, mm-hmm. and then there's sinkholes, yeah. and then there's rodents.
Big rodents. So no
it
one
sounds
ha-
like a terrible
ever,
place to live.
No one has ever survived the fire swamp before. And Wesley's like, whatever, just because nobody else has done it doesn't mean I can't. I've never tried it before, so let's go through. They make their way through. They get attacked by the rodents. And this is where, like, Buttercup is, like, sidelined, and she's, like, just not helping. Like, he's being attacked by this giant rodent, and she's like, just like, ah!
I know. I kept saying the whole time, I was like, freaking do something, girl.
Kick it, girl. Come on. Grab a stick. And eventually she does grab a stick, and then she's like, and she just doesn't do much, and it's a little disappointing from a modern movie making standpoint.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you could have beefed her up a little bit.
I mean, I realize she's not like the Black Widow, but she could have done a little.
She could have done a little something. So Wesley gets them out of there, and the prince is once again right hot on their tails. I don't know how he keeps.
He knew where
around.
They were going. He's a good hunter.
Yeah,
he's a good tracker. Hunter.
That's right. That's right. So
and his horse is the fastest horse in the West.
That's right, because he's a prince. Humperdinck. And so he meets them. He meets them once they get out. And so it's like Wesley and Buttercup are back together again. You know, the love has been renewed and they're here. And when the prince shows up, he's like, hey, it's my girlfriend. Come on over here, girl. And she's like, this dude is my man now. And he's like, well, we're going to kill him. So she begs for his life to be spared. Like, please, 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 I will come with you if you don't hurt him. Just don't hurt him. Take him back to his ship, and then everybody will be cool. I'll marry you. We'll be all good to go. And he's like, okay, sure. Let's do that. That sounds like a
good
plan.
Put him in the pit of insanity.
Yeah, put him in the pit of despair.
Pit of despair.
Take him to the pit of despair. So he orders his homie, Count Regan, who happens to be the six-fingered man.
Sixies.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
To
take him and put him in the pit of despair. Yeah, the pit of despair is gross. I thought it was just going to be like a pit. But
I thought it was going to be like the thing in Avatar when they just walking around all soulless.
Oh right, God. Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
spirit
yeah.
world or whatever. No, it's a dungeon. It's a torture dungeon. He takes him down there. He hooks him. He hooks him up to the life sucking machine or whatever, and he's like, "I'm not. Guess what? I just took a year off of your life, and it's like attached to his nipples, and it's like."
Yeah, why is it attached to his nipples?
That's where your life comes from.
Your life force comes out of your nipples and his head.
Yeah, exactly.
So she goes back, Buttercup.
Right with him,
and she's like, "I ain't gonna marry you." Not today, Satan.
I think my favorite part is she's walking around like super dejected.
Very
and
sad.
The prince is like, oh, it's because my dad's health is failing. And
yeah.
She loves my daddy. So that's why she's so sad.
Right. That's,
and then
that's
the
why.
Six-fingered man's like,
I don't
he's
know
like,
about that.
Sure.
Did you see the hot
you
stranger that we put in the dungeon?
Tyrone. His name is Tyrone. I can't.
That's right. Tyrone Regan. The count or whatever.
So then Tyrone makes his appearance in the pit of
despair.
Yeah,
and he's like, ha
this is
Yo.
My favorite part of my job. Oh my God, I'm just so happy.
Yeah,
to be
he
down
crazy.
Here.
I love to be killing some
I
people.
I love sucking the life force out of these dudes' nipples. It's
I
great.
Perfected this over my whole life.
The worst part is like he does the thing. A year of the life is gone, and he sits there with his book, and he's like, "Now be honest. This is for research purposes."
How did that make you feel?
How did that make you feel? And he's like,
interesting.
You know that Dr. Phil got his questions from this movie.
Oh, that's how you be a therapist. All right, cool.
Sounds great.
So, yeah, he's torturing him down there. Buttercup is upstairs in the castle.
She tries to make a deal with Prince Pumperdink.
Right. She's like, so you sent him out on a ship, right? And he's like, yeah, he's gone. He's gone. And she's like, well, I'm still really in love with him. So if you really care for me, you should send a letter to him and let him know that I'm still here, and if he comes back, I'll go with him, but if he doesn't, then I'll marry you. And the
it's
prince is
like, I'm gonna kill myself, or
that's right, yeah,
she's like, otherwise I'm gonna kill
I
myself.
I will be dead by morning, bro. Is that what you want? And he's like, kind of, but not in this exact
he's
way.
He's like, but I have to kill you.
Right, yeah. So
can't die yet.
So he agrees, quotation marks, he agrees, and he's like, oh yeah, I'll send my four fastest ships, they'll be out there, they'll send him a letter. And she's like, cool, thanks. And so she goes off.
And he's pissed at this point after that, like, because she's like, I'm going to, she's like, ah. And then I think the next day she's like, I'm not going to marry you. And you didn't send those letters. And he's like, go to your room. And he, like, locks her in the room. And he's so mad that he didn't at her that he goes down and he pumps the thing up to 50 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he dies.
I think at one point we also missed her dream. So she has a nightmare where the king has died. The prince has become the king. She married him. And now she's being introduced as the queen or the princess or whatever. And she's walking through the commoner area. And the one old lady is like, boo, boo, you sacrificed the true love of your life for this dude. Boo, boo, it's all about true love. And
the queen of filth.
Yeah.
The queen of slime.
Dang, this is
I remember that
really rough
kid,
judgment call.
But when I was rewatching it, I was waiting for her to say "boo, you whore," because I swear that's what she said.
Wrong movie, wrong movie.
Boo, yeah, that's Mean Girls.
but I totally thought that's what she said. And I was like, oh no, that's not what she said.
But I mean, basically, that's kind of what she said. So
applicable,
yeah.
Okay.
Right. So that
losers, we're going to the pit of despair.
So yeah, that's what causes her to be like, I can't do this. I'm gonna have to kill myself or marry you, I guess.
Well, Prince Pumperdink killed. What's his actual name?
Humperdink. So you're pretty close.
Humperdink.
Yes.
Oh, not a P.
So when he's going down to the pit of despair,
he
reveals to the six fingered man that like, bro, like, I got too much stuff going on, right? I'm trying to marry this girl and then kill her. And, you know, I hired Vizzini to kill her in the first place to start the war between the two factions. And it's like, how am I supposed to get any of this stuff done if this stranger keeps coming around and messing my stuff up? So he goes down there. He pumps the thing up to 50 and kills him. And then Inigo, who has woken up from being busted up upside the head, and Fezzik, who is now in a different town or whatever, they join up again. And realize that they have to storm the castle in order to get revenge on the six-fingered man and not necessarily rescue the princess, but they just know that they're aligned with the stranger. Right. They're aligned with him. So they want to go find him so that they can help each other.
And at this point, they hear, this is such a fairy tale thing, they hear a scream. They hear a...
Oh, yeah.
Like a wail. And then he's like, that has to be the man in black, because nobody would scream with that much despair.
He just lost the love of his life.
He's like, I sounded like that when my papa died.
That's the sound my heart made. It's like, okay.
That's very, yeah, that is totally a fairy tale.
Like, whatever you say, bro.
And it's so funny because it's completely unrelated, but I just watched the Zack Snyder cut of the Justice League, which just premiered on HBO or whatever. And at the very beginning of that, a change that they made is that when Superman dies at the end of like the previous movie, he screamed, right? He screams as he's dying and the entire world hears it because it's a super scream or whatever. So the fact that in this movie, it's basically the same exact thing, except you can kind of hear it. It's I was like, oh, okay, he's doing super scream. I know what this is.
I know all about that.
So they follow the sound of the scream and make their way to the secret entrance of the Pit of Despair.
That's how they got there?
Yeah, they followed the scream.
They followed the scream sound because they were in like a different town. And Inigo was all drunk because he was all sad because he'd been defeated.
They were in a different town and they followed the scream? That makes no sense.
That's why I was saying it's like a fairy tale, because in no like real life situation would that work, but like in this fairy tale universe.
I legit thought they were just like walking, seeing this one weird, you know, tater tot dude like just
stop
chilling and, you know, his wagon and stuff.
Tater tot dude.
And his spinners on the wagon and stuff.
I think it was, I think the prince had explained that like the thieves guild is where this town was. This is where all the criminals hang out. And that's where Inigo was. And he had
so
said
like
go send the dudes to destroy the town.
Like in the forest.
Yeah.
Like, and they're all in the forest.
Right, right, right. So that's where they were. And that's where they heard the scream from the pit of despair.
It's not even my favorite part. My favorite part is they can't find the secret entrance, like the knot. And he's like, Lord, please.
Guide my sword.
Guide my sword.
Father.
Father.
Papa, can you hear me?
It was Papa, a very Papa, can you hear me moment.
Guide my sword to the secret lair.
Yeah, so he closes his eyes, holds his sword out, and spins around a couple times. And eventually, he plunks the tree right in the spot where the secret entrance is. Kind of like, what's that tree in Harry Potter? The Whomping Willow.
Mm-hmm.
You hit the knot, and it opens the secret entrance.
Troop.
Yep. So they do that, and they go down there. They find dead Wesley.
He's dead.
And he goes like, take the body. We need a miracle. He's like, take the body. Take the body. So they go to a dude.
Mike Wazowski.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What's his character's name
in
this?
Was hilarious.
Miracle Max.
Miracle Max. That's right. And he's like an elf or something like that, I guess.
I don't know.
He's just
an old guy.
Really old.
Who performs miracles.
His wife's really old, too.
So he's in there explaining.
I thought it was the same wife who was calling, what's her name,
No, it was not Boo You.
Right. different lady.
No, that was a hag.
Yeah.
This is a wife.
Yeah. So Miracle Max is very funny. Yeah, it's Billy Crystal, the voice of Mike Wazowski.
And he looks nothing like him in this. They did amazing.
Oh, yeah. They used a ton of prosthetics to make him look old.
I didn't know until Andre was like, it's Mike Wazowski. I was like,
I could tell by his voice, mm-hmm. but like I never before this made the connection.
That it was him.
Yeah, as a kid, I had never seen him.
Right.
Anything.
No. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
This is one of like the bigger roles that he had at the time.
Probably one of his like handful of roles. Like,
yeah, like because he's a stand-up comedian, but he was also an actor, right? And he did this, and he did what's the I'll Have What She's Having movie? You guys know what that one is?
Mm-mm.
With him and Meg Ryan. And they're like friend or Men and Women Can't Be Friends. I can't remember what it's called. But that's a good
Jim
movie.
Carrey.
Anyway.
Was it Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's like in 2008. I'm talking about in like the '80s and '90s. Anywho, he's like, I can't perform this miracle. It's not gonna work. I need more money. and usually I perform these miracles for a noble cause. And then he goes like, this is the most noble cause you could possibly have. His children are dying. His wife, he's been captured and stuff like that. And he's like, you're lying to me. And he tells him the truth. And
he
uses the little poofer of the air.
He uses the bellows.
Oh, that's right.
That's what that's called. I like that poofer thing they use in the fire.
He poofs into
Wesley's
chest.
I think that's at my
chest.
Grandma's house, and I'm like, what is that?
And he asks him the question, like, what are you staying alive for, or what do you need to live for?
True love.
And he's like, well, he obviously said, ooh, whoa. So
he didn't say anything. Funny because the wife comes in, and she's like, true love.
You heard him say true love.
True love.
You fix this man right now.
Yeah, she crazy.
That's what I remember the most from this movie is the wife.
This old Carol Kane.
Well, like the two different things that they say. The
Mowage.
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
I love that. And then that. Have fun storming the castle.
Yes.
In just a second.
So funny.
Anywho.
So they completely revive Wesley.
He's not dead. He's just mostly dead.
He's just mostly dead. He's like a quadriplegic basically at this point. He's like only alive from the neck up, and the rest of his body has to wake up slowly over time, which is very funny because.
And the poor kid is like, no, he didn't die. He couldn't die.
Oh right. Yeah. The kid Fred Savage, Mr. Creep, he's he pulls us out of the story again, and he's like, this can't be how the story goes. Tell me how they win. Tell me how it ends. And the grandpa's like, do you want me to keep reading the story? I guess we could be done, because you're doing a lot
he's like,
right
you're
now.
You're telling it wrong, Grandpa.
Tell me how he defeats Humperdinck.
And it's very
so
funny.
So invested.
Yeah, very invested at this point.
He wants to binge, and Grandpa can't talk fast enough.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's not how stories are told, young one. So we see Fezzik and Inigo talking to Wesley, who's only alive from the neck up, and they keep like turning his head and and stuff like that.
It's so funny.
And they're instructing him how they're gonna storm the castle. And how do they end up going in there?
Well, he's like, he's like, how many guys are there? And they're like,
at least 30 men.
Like 30, 40,
60, something like that.
And he's like, tell me, what are our assets? He's like,
well,
Fezzik and me
and you
and
not really you.
And he's like, well, I mean, if we had a wheelbarrow and a Holocaust cloak,
right,
we could do this. And he's like, oh, we have a wheelbarrow. Oh, we have a cloak. And he's like, then why didn't you list that in the ad?
They basically do the whole, like, glowing pumpkin thing.
Glowing pumpkin?
Yeah, well, like, you know, like the headless horseman, he's in the cloak, like, ooh, spooky.
Right, right, right. They do a Trojan horse.
Spooky. Trojan horse, into dude. Into the castle. It's glowing pumpkin, same
right,
thing.
Yeah.
I was so confused.
So they wheel Andre the Giant up to the thing, and he's like, I am the Dread Pirate Robert. Fear me. And they, like, light him on fire. I was like, how is this suit working? How is he not just burning to death?
I had to look up a Holocaust cloak, because I was like, what does that even mean? And apparently it's, like, a fabric that is, like, fire resistant, mm-hmm, on one side.
Gotcha.
So that makes more sense, because, okay, even as a kid, I was like, is that how fire works?
Because seems like a little bit hot for physics.
I knew that. Well, I didn't know that, but I put two and two together when I heard the name of the cloak. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, makes sense.
I mean, why didn't they have those on the Holocaust?
I don't know.
Well, not everybody had access to all that kind of stuff, I guess. They make their way into the castle.
Adrad Pirate Robert.
Adrad Pirate Robert.
But at the same time, they're at the altar.
Right. Buttercup is getting married to the prince. And the pastor or the priest or whatever.
Best part
is
ever.
Marrying them. My wedge.
We come in.
My wedge is what brings us together today.
And Louis is like, really talk about
just two of.
And just so everyone knows, literally the day I got married, what, like 7 years ago,
mm-hmm,
one of our listeners, friend Mary Angela, she sent me a picture of Mowage.
Mowage.
It was very fun. So every time I see that now, I think back to when Louie and I got married and got Maui.
I mean, it's basically to the point where every time I hear the word marriage, I think of Mowage. And it's all from this movie.
It's so funny.
It's fantastic.
Mowage.
So
then Humperdinck is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He can hear the fighting outside.
Can we hurry this up?
Just, can we skip that part? Gets to the end. And I guess, do they kiss even?
No,
they don't even say their I do's. He's like, skip to the husband and wife. And he's like, husband and wife. And he's like, good enough.
And good he enough, like, sweeps her off back to the honeymoon suite. Mm-hmm. And then he's trying to figure out, like, what the heck is happening.
Because there's all kinds of fighting going on. Because Fezzik and Inigo are just ripping it up in there. Like, wah, wah, shing, 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 shing. Fezzik, at one point, props Wesley up because he still can't, like, walk and stuff. He props him up on a suit of armor and goes to help Inigo fight some dudes.
Well, you forgot the most important part.
Hit me with it.
Okay. They come in the hallway, and who does Inigo see?
The six-finger man.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
I don't think he
you
says
killed
it
my
yet.
Father. Prepare to die.
He does
he
say
says it right there.
He does say it here in the hallway.
He says
and the
it
guy's
right
like, nope. And he turns around
freaking
and runs.
Runs.
Yeah, he does.
That's where he's like, Fezzik!
That run is almost as equivalent as Ernesto de la Cruz's run in Coco. Is just so
right.
Yeah.
To me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's a good
good comparison.
That's a good chase scene.
Yeah.
And Fezzik's like, I can't leave him here. He like prop. That's when he props him
that's
up on
the thing.
That's
when he props him up on the
like,
armor.
Hold on.
He goes to help him. And then
because he can't knock down the door, and Fez is just like, boom.
And the best part is he's like running and not even putting his shoulder into it. He's like running and just like what do you call that?
Falling
like dead fishing,
the,
I guess.
Yeah, into the door. Very funny. So, yeah, Inigo goes to chase the six-finger man. Fez tries to go back to Wesley where he left him propped up, and he's gone. He's like, uh-oh. I lost the man in black. We see the man in black in Buttercup's bedroom.
Yeah, and Buttercup's right? Gonna stab herself. So dramatic.
Right, yeah. She's like, I'm had enough of this.
If I'm killing myself, I ain't freaking stabbing myself with no knife, okay? That sounds awful.
I mean, yeah.
Well, let's not talk about options. Moving on.
That ain't my number one choice.
So then we're sitting there, and then she's like picking up the knife and like pulling it towards her chest, and then all you hear is, oh, what does he say?
I don't know what
there's
he says.
Only a handful of perfect breasts in this world.
Oh, yeah,
something
yeah.
Like that. It'd be a shame if you
be such
went
a pity.
And did something there.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
Pretty good line.
And wow. I remember being a kid like,
huh?
So confused. And then, oh, Wesley.
Yeah.
And she goes over there and she's like trying to kiss on him and stuff, and he's just like, gently.
Girl, I'm gently. Hurt. I can't move.
He's like,
why
I was
would you kiss me?
Mostly dead, you know?
Mostly dead. So we cut back to Inigo. He confronts the six-figure man once again.
After a very long run.
It's a long chase through this. This is a big castle. he confronts him once again. And
he's like, I didn't train for cardio. I trained for fencing.
Truth.
The six-figure man pulls a dirty trick. And he hides and he grabs a knife and then he stabs him right as he comes into the room.
He throws the knife.
That's exactly what Louis said. He's like, wow, what a dirty cheater.
This is right. It's the exact opposite of the scene before where we saw him fighting with Wesley, where they gave each other a whole lot of respect and time and preparation and stuff like that.
He comes around and just shanks.
He sounded like a cheater before, actually.
Yeah. Shank. Right. So, and he was like, oh, father, I have failed once again. Oh, no. But then he gets like a second wind or whatever, right?
Yeah, because that one dude is like, taunting
him.
Yeah.
Right. Tyrone.
And then he's like, my name is Inigo Montoya.
You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
Prepare to die. And he pulls out his sword.
Stop saying that.
He keeps saying it over and over and over as he gets close to him. And he runs this fool through. It's very satisfying. His revenge.
I don't know how this fool lived. I think eventually he goes away on the horse, too. I'm like, he's fine?
Yeah.
He's always, like, holding his stomach, like, it's okay.
You know, revenge will heal you, I guess. You know, if you get it, it'll give
pays
you...
Pays the bills.
Yeah, it's like a big Band-Aid.
Heals the wound.
So, yeah, he exacts his revenge on the six-figure man. And then we cut back into Buttercup's room where she and Wesley are there. And the prince comes in, right?
Yes.
And what does Wesley say to the prince?
Oh, my God. He's like, we're going to fight. And I don't remember what he says, to the death or something. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, to the pain.
Oh, yeah. This is my hero. He's like, first I'll chop your feet off. Then your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Next, your nose. Then your eye, just your right eye. Then your left eye.
You're going to be
You'll
so
be
ugly.
So ugly.
The prince, hold on. The prince is like, what? I get it. Now my ears. And he's like, no, you'll keep your ears.
So you can hear everybody's like, ugh, you're gross.
I cannot.
Honestly, it's something a kid would say. First, I'm going to keep your ears. Everybody right. See. You can hear how ugly they think you are.
It's a fate worse than death.
So he like drops the sword. He's like, I surrender, homie. Yeah. It's fine.
I guess he just doesn't know that he's.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He's saying all this from the bed. And he's like, oh,
he's
man.
He's just that cool, okay? Yeah, he's like, cool. I'm just laying down like, yo, I'm going to mess you up.
So Buttercup ties him to the chair, and they're like,
it's like
okay.
He's got a Glock under the cover.
Right. He's like, please don't make me ugly.
Please, I can't. I've been beautiful my whole life. Come on, man. Look at his hair. So Wesley gets up. And Humperdinck surrenders, and Buttercup ties him to a chair, and then they get out of the castle. And as they're jumping down, right? What happened? They push Buttercup out the window.
Fessick's there, and he's like, hey guys,
hey guys,
got these four
here.
White horses.
I went to the stables. Look at this, four beautiful white horses.
There's four of us. There's four horses.
Just so in case I ran into you again.
And if you found the lady. We could put her on here. Hi, lady.
Put her on. Hi, lady. Hilarious. They push her out the window.
So considerate.
And Fezzik catches her. And she falls so gracefully through the air. It's kind of a cool
Wesley
shot.
Wesley, like, sits on the windowsill and just, like, falls out. Can't move his leg.
Flops like a fish on out. So they all escape. Wesley and Buttercup, they share a passionate kiss. And they're safely reunited. And then we cut back to the kid's bedroom, and he's like, wow, that was great. Even the kiss part. Hey, Grandpa, could you please maybe come back and tell the story to me again, like next time I'm sick or tomorrow? Or
tomorrow.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, as you wish, he says, which is cute. And that's the end. Good movie.
And I was telling Andre, like, it's a very simple story, mm-hmm. like simple movie, but it's just so fun and so good.
Yeah.
It was thoughtfully done, I think.
Very well told.
Like, it could have been boring.
Right, absolutely.
It was nice to watch something kind of simple that was like funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is nice.
Right.
This is fun.
But that's because you watched Les Mis the day before.
No, it's my third time seeing it, but I saw it like once in high school and once in college. Like, I know the movie. but I don't like have it memorized mm-hmm. or anything.
Right. Like I don't think I watched this as a kid. I think I had seen it in college as well.
Yeah, I didn't watch it as a kid.
Yeah.
I think I watched it as a kid because I think my dad liked it.
That's so how it is, right? Just, like, yeah, whatever so you I like.
It because he thought it was really good.
I only watched it with you the first time.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's a good movie, though.
Yeah, a very, very, very cool story.
I remember
to
why
share
I watched
with a
I watched it in college when me and my sister were going through all the 80s movies. Yeah. We were, like, watching, like, Say Anything mm-hmm. and 16 Candles, and we watched this then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Once again, this is quite a good movie. And the simplicity of that story. You know, you see it in all kinds of other fairy tales. I mean, this story is in like every Disney movie, basically, right? Like this is Tangled. As we said, this is Shrek, yeah. right? It's the one story of a damsel in distress and a hero, and the rescue mission, basically, right? And the cast of fun characters by their side.
Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually very similar to Shrek.
another tropey star.
Now
style
I
want to
watch Shrek. We've been saying that for a long time. God, I think we have to do a Shrek movie night for your birthday or something.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I say yes. That would be on Monday. So the day this comes out.
Well,
Shrek movie night. Everybody come over.
Shrek night.
That'll be fun.
I'm about it.
So
even though Addie doesn't like Shrek, and Luis told her that his name is Shriek.
What? Maybe she'll
like
it.
Shriek?
Maybe it'll grow on her.
Oh, what happened?
I think she's too young to like appreciate.
It's
the
like
funnies.
It's more like a middle school yeah. age type of movie.
That's true. Yeah,
what's
you need
to
need to be
tomatoes,
a little bit meatus. Older. On Rotten Tomatoes, this movie has a 97% score, which is pretty baller. The critic's consensus says, a delightfully postmodern tale, The Princess Bride is a deft, intelligent mix of swashbuckling, romance, and comedy that takes an age-old damsel-in-distress story and makes it fresh.
There you go.
Yeah, basically, that sums it up, mm-hmm. honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Yeah.
Nice consensus.
Has a 94% audience score. So, yeah, this movie is quite beloved. And I think the 1 hour and 38 minute runtime is like freaking sweet,
you know,
spot,
what?
Man.
Can't beat
really
it.
Appreciate that.
Andre loves to watch 2 hour and 23 minute long movies.
I mean, you know, long
was
movies.
Was Man of Steel the other day?
Yeah, Man of Steel was 220. You know, it's lengthy.
It's a good movie, but I was tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I give you guys a really fun fact?
Oh, yes, yeah. Please.
So it said The Princess Bride was almost made into a movie in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and a then unknown Arnold Schwarzenegger was seriously considered to play Fezzik.
Oh.
And then by the time that the That'd movie cool. was actually made, Schwarzenegger was too expensive to hire.
I bet. He had been a couple of Terminators by that point.
I feel like it wouldn't have been as good with him.
Right. I was watching a...
Wasn't he already Conan 2?
What?
Was what?
Conan. He said,
yeah.
Wasn't he already Conan,
yes.
Conan 2? The
yes, he had been Conan. He had been Terminator. And I think...
Have you seen Conan? Because that's another
I
movie
should.
That I remember watching with my dad.
I have never seen, Arnold
once.
Schwarzenegger in a movie.
What?
You need to watch.
You've never seen a single one?
Never seen that. Never seen Terminator. Never seen nothing
never
he
seen
been
Terminator.
In.
You never seen Kindergarten Cop?
No.
You
never
know
seen
who
Twins with Danny DeVito?
You realize I'm your wife and grew up on basically only Disney, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Andre
so
forgets
that
my parents only
that,
let me watch Disney.
What was that movie franchise that I watched with had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it? And Terry Crews.
Oh,
The Expendables.
With
I
all,
was
14. All of the action stars in it.
Yeah, the first scary movie
He's in
I
that one too.
Yeah. Like any movie. It's like I just did not. I don't think I wasn't not allowed
he
to watch
like
it.
He was super popular
it.
Before our time.
Yeah.
Right,
like
yeah.
our age group.
But like I knew he was in Terminator. Like I know
he
what
was
Terminator
our governor.
Is.
Yeah, the governor.
Yeah, he's definitely our governor. Like I know about it. I just never seen it.
That's very interesting. But yeah, I was watching a little mini documentary on this movie, and the director, Rob Reiner, who came on in the 80s, obviously, after they had been trying to make that first version of the movie, he was saying, Andre the Giant is the only person who could have played the role of Fezzik. Like,
totally.
Nobody else who would have been right for it.
Totally.
And apparently also Wallace Shawn, the guy who played Vizzini, you know, they didn't have him in mind before they were thinking about the movie. He just came in and auditioned, and they were like, this is the guy, because he
yes.
just killed it in his audition, and he was hilarious.
I love that dude.
Yeah, he's so funny.
I think he's so funny.
Yeah, and a great voice, just a fantastic
voice,
voice
actor,
on this
yeah.
on this guy.
Also, I read this, that The director auditioned over 500 different women to play the role of Buttercup.
Interesting.
Including Courtney Cox, Meg Ryan, Uma Thurman, and Whoopi Goldberg.
What? Whoopi?
Whoopi.
I don't know why, but I was like,
that'd have been great.
And they settled, not settled, they chose Robin Wright, and she's originally from Texas, but then needed the dialect coaching, right?
Did this, like, begin her career, basically?
I have no idea. But Luis was, like, totally right. He's like, oh, yeah, she's been in other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't realize.
She's the Anne in Wonder Woman.
Right. She's the training girl in Wonder Woman. She's also in.
She's really good at knowing what movies people are in.
And she was in House of Cards, which is the Netflix show that was quite popular.
I love you, Johnny.
I did not like Jenny. So I was like, don't put that on
Jenny.
Her.
Oh,
she was Jenny?
She was such a.
I love that movie, though.
Do you like that I did my own
bleeping on self bleep? That was good. Johnny. Robin Wright is a fantastic actress as well. And then I also like the Six Finger Man too, Christopher Guest, who I didn't like recognize. I think he's been in some other stuff too. I can't internet isn't being my friend right now, so I can't pull it up. But good cast overall. This movie had a $16 million budget and ended up with a worldwide gross of $30 million. It's the 80s, but they made
That's
their money
good
back
for the 80s.
And it is 100% like a cult classic, even if it didn't make a ton of money at the time.
Mainly for Mowage.
It's just so quotable. The whole thing. Inconceivable. You keep saying that word. I don't think you know what it means. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, and the best part, too, is that I don't think same thing with the word marriage. Like, I don't think you could hear the word inconceivable and not hear that voice.
Right,
in your
and
head.
Not think about this movie. Indeed. That's been... did you have more fun facts?
I have one that I think is fun.
Oh, yeah, hit me with it.
And this makes me think that he may have... ad-libbed a lot of it, but it said Billy Crystal filmed the role of Miracle Max over 3 days for 10 hours a day.
No, it's not. That's
freaking 30 hours. And never made the same joke twice.
That's
like,
fantastic.
Doesn't that sound like he just
yeah,
was, like,
that sounds like him.
So much
yes,
of it?
Yes. And that sounds like when I think about possibly being an actor, that sounds like the funnest part. Is,
oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, there's a script there and whatever. You can say the lines, but just messing around and
or
throwing
like do a Robert Downey Jr. of it. Like, you've played the role so... It's one or the other, right?
Robin
like
either Williams?
No, Robert Downey Jr., like how he played Iron Man for so long that he was like,
just
I am Iron Man.
It's
like,
me.
It's me, Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Let me do me.
Yeah, but it is also a Robin Williams of it all, and just throwing everything out, and they'll keep what's good.
Like a total Robin Williams.
Yes,
thing to me.
Yes, absolutely.
And apparently the director would laugh so much at Billy Crystal's lines that he had to leave the room during filming.
That'd probably be me for show.
And the only injury that was suffered on set was Inigo Montoya, the actor, bruised the muscles on the side of his rims from laughing so hard during
Billy Crystal scene.
Like, come on,
that's
Billy.
Hilarious.
Me.
There was another fun fact from the documentary I was watching where the author of the book, he was on set a fair amount of the time, and he was like, I shouldn't have been on set because I was making things worse. At one point, they're in the fire swamp, and a jet of fire comes up, and it actually hits Robin Wright's dress. Her dress catches on fire, and the scene, I mean, it looks cool because, you know, Wesley, he like stamps it out real quick and he saves her and he says something catchy, but also the author is like, she's on fire. He says that super loud, and they couldn't use the take at all.
Oh my god.
They're like, yeah, we know.
We know, man, chill out.
That's funny. All right, so let's go ahead and give our ratings for this movie. Mm-hmm. Luis, what are you gonna give this movie?
8.5
out of 10.
This is a good movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with Luis. I'm going to give this movie an 8.5. It's a really good movie. It is a classic, and I'll watch it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Andre?
I think I'm going to give it a 9. It's a solid movie that you know, for 1987, watching old stuff sometimes does not hold up. But this is a movie that holds up for sure. And it's one of those
maybe
movies.
Maybe not the hairstyles.
Well, you know, mom mullet notwithstanding.
It's his little mustache that gets me.
Yeah, it's like cut off on each side.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's just grown right in the middle there. No, but yeah, yeah. Mom Mullet's notwithstanding, the movie holds up, and that's how you can tell that, like, it's a timeless classic that we can probably watch again in 20 totally. Years and still think it's just as good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, 9 out of 10 for me.
I'm gonna give it a 9 too. Yeah. I mean, I really want to give it a 9.5 for nostalgia, mm-hmm. but like,
I mean, you can.
You can do you. Nobody.
9.5.7.
9.57.
Which really is a 9.6 if you want to be honest.
Yeah, if you want to round up a little bit.
I really like this movie.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And it reminds me of movies now. It reminds me of like Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit, right? Not in like its storytelling or anything like that, but like the way that jokes and drama are interspersed yeah. together to make a satisfying story
yeah.
that feels like it'll last forever. Like, even though there are like very of the time jokes in Guardians, like mm-hmm. they're talking about Kevin Bacon and stuff mm-hmm. like that, I think that movie will stand the test of time as well, kind for of sure. like this.
The only thing, well, and we've said this before, that this movie is pretty simple in the storytelling. I wish that in general, movies of our time period would do this well
mm-hmm.
and still be entertaining enough to be that simple.
Right.
Because as much as I love Marvel, no doubt, mm-hmm.
it's
not
complicated.
Simple.
It's
like,
very
you've
complex.
Got to know all kinds of stuff for anything to make sense.
Yeah.
That's, I think, why I like a lot of the Star Wars stuff, is that Star Wars in general, pretty simple.
Sure.
Right? Like, you can watch, I don't know, A New Hope and not know anything because well, yeah. they originally nobody knew anything.
But if you do know everything, then it can
it's also
enhance
very good.
Your experience. Yeah.
So I like that idea that it's a story that you don't have to like have all this insight and be thinking. You just
right.
get to watch and enjoy. Mm-hmm.
Just like enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that because I've been using my brain lately on movies, man.
Good Lord. My brain. Indeed.
Well, we don't have to use our brain next week.
That's right.
Ain't nobody using their brain on because it's good. You don't need to know anything other than Emily approved.
Next week, we are watching the, what year is it? 2018?
2000 recent.
The 2018 live action Star Wars film, Solo.
Yeah, well.
A Star Wars Story. So this is this is widely regarded, no offense, Emily. But
no, I know people don't like
this.
This
is widely
one.
Regarded as one of the worst, of the newer Star Wars movies.
They can say what they like. This is one of Emily's favorite Star
one
Wars
One of
movies.
Emily's favorites, and we watched it not too long ago, and I would say I didn't hate it. So
we
you know,
rewatched all of them, and didn't hate it. I
if
like
you haven't
it.
Seen it for whatever reason, I'd say now is a pretty cool time to check it out. It's on the plus.
It's on the plus. It's on the plus.
So that'll
I
be
just
out.
Really like the actor. Like
Alden Ehrenreich. I
personally think he is like a perfect young Solo.
Doing
well, I also really like, Donald Glover.
That's right. There's some Lando in this movie.
Oh, I like me some Community Glover.
And some
and
robots.
Some Paul Bettany.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul Bettany.
And Khaleesi is in this movie as well. There's a stacked cast in Solo.
Like
Star Wars Story.
Oh, and what's his name?
What's his name? Chewbacca?
Bucket. What's his name?
Bucket.
Yeah, his name is like Commander Bucket.
Oh, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Yes,
that,
yes.
That mother.
Yeah, he's great as well. So yeah, check that out. You've got 2 weeks to watch it. This episode will come out 2 weeks from now. In the meantime, you can keep up with us on social media. We are at the Walt Vault Pod on Facebook. I said Walt Vault Pod. Walt Vault Pod. on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check us out there. Leave a comment. Let us know what you thought of The Princess Bride and what you're thinking about Solo. You can send an email to contact@thewaltvaultpod.com. Ask us some questions or send in your opinions and thoughts. Leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you're subscribed. If you're on YouTube, hit that like button and the notification bell. Ding, ding. And you can also get merch for us on our Bonfire store. That's bonfire.com. The link is in the description.
Boom.
I think that's
Am I
it.
Correct in saying that next Monday they'll have access to...
That's right. You will get yourself, if you're not a Patreon listener, you will be getting access to our WandaVision review.
2 hours of goodness.
It's 2 hours of goodness. Our patrons got it a little bit earlier. And you're only missing a couple of fun, cool, extra things that we left
Andre
in there for
had
the patrons.
Super bleep out.
Yeah, I had to bleep it. It is an explicit episode, so muffle your ears if you're.
I'm trying to say Muppet your ears.
Muppet your ears. Put felt over them. Yeah, so check all of that out. It's in the feed, the WandaVision review, and the Princess Bride, which you're listening to right now. I'm tired. You're welcome, indeed. That's been it for this week, guys. We love you very much. We will see you next time for some solo Star Wars goodness. The vault is now closed.